WILL's Illinois Newsroom. This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Tuesday, October 19th. Coming up, more than 10,000 workers at Illinois-based John Deere are on strike. We'll learn more from two reporters from the Quad Cities covering the impasse. That's coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. A fourth labor group has now agreed to Governor J.B. Pritzker's COVID vaccine mandate for state employees in congregate care settings. But as Hannah Meisel reports, the state's largest public employee union still has not reached a deal with the administration.
It was early August when Governor Pritzker announced his vaccine requirement for state workers in places like prisons, state-run mental hospitals, and veterans homes. But nearly 10 weeks and two deadline extensions later, AFSCME has yet to strike a deal on behalf of 15,000 of its members whose jobs fall under the mandate. On Monday, however, multiple small units of Illinois trade unions became the fourth labor group to reach agreement with Pritzker, boosting the number of state workers covered by the vaccine requirement to nearly 2,000. Those employees in congregate settings now have until October 26th to get their first COVID shot or one of the narrow exemptions under their union agreements. Otherwise, they face discipline, which could escalate to losing their jobs. I'm Hannah Meisel.
Students no longer see issues like climate change as a future threat. They look at raging wildfires and massive power outages and see an active crisis. That's one reason Illinois educators just rewrote their environmental literacy framework for the first time in a decade. Abby Enland is the executive director of the Illinois Environmental Education Association. She says the standards were outdated and asked all schools to do things the same way.
It's all changed drastically in the past few years. We now understand that not only is this not feasible, but it's not equitable either. Communities aren't built the same. They don't have access to the same resources. They can't implement the same field trips and projects and strategies.
The new tenets of environmental literacy explore concepts like environmental justice and civic action. The updated framework will be released later this fall on the Illinois Environmental Education Association's website. Carl Foundation Hospital will drop Aetna Medicare in January. That's bad news for Bridget McGill, an Urbana resident who relies on Aetna Medicare Advantage to afford her monthly prescriptions. Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes has more.
Bridget McGill received a letter in the mail about 2 weeks ago informing her that Aetna's Medicare Advantage plan was no longer being accepted at Carl Hospital. Her first thought was, what do I do?
It just says how to find a new hospital, and they mentioned Heart of Mary Medical Center and Kirby Medical Center, which is like out in the boonies. It's not even in town.
Mac Gill has given birth to two children at Carl. She doesn't want to change doctors. At the same time, Aetna Medicare makes what she calls her laundry list of prescriptions affordable. In a statement, Carl said that the system will continue to accept other private Medicare options, just not Aetna's version. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
The number of active COVID-19 cases in Champaign County continues to hover just above 400. It's been between 400 and 500 for the last 2 weeks. Carl Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reports 47 patients with COVID-19, nearly unchanged from Friday. 16 of those patients are in the ICU. Still to come, we'll get an update on the strike at Illinois-based John Deere. Two reporters discuss it with 21st show host Brian Mackey. That's coming up next on 217 Today.
These days, there's no shortage of news, but not all sources are trustworthy. In honor of U.S. Media Literacy Week, Illinois Public Media is asking, who's in charge of the news? Join us the week of October 25th to learn about the growing news desert in Illinois and find out whether new laws can save local journalism. Find our special reports on WILL Radio, TV, and IllinoisNewsroom.org.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. Thousands of union workers at Illinois-based John Deere are on strike. The 21st show spoke with Herb Trix, news director at WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities, and Kara Smith, a reporter at the Quad City Times, who are both covering the strike. Host Brian Mackey asked Smith what the United Auto Workers members want from John Deere.
So the workers are asking for higher wage increases. Right now, they're not satisfied with the 5 to 6%. There hasn't been a specific number set, but they do want more than that. They're also trying to get rid of the tiered retirement system. So in 97, they said that people who are hired after that contract have even more limited retirement benefits and health care when they retire. So in this contract, they tried to create even a third tier with people that would have been hired after the proposed contract was put in place. They would only have a 401k. They would not have a pension. So they want to get rid of that tiered system. They want people to all employees to have pensions and health care. And then also, I mean, I've talked to some workers about this, is supplemental workers. They pay union dues, but they don't necessarily qualify for all of the benefits that full union members have. So some workers want to see supplemental workers, you know, kind of gain some more, you know, rights that full employees have.
So Herb Tricks, what has John Deere been saying throughout this strike and this negotiating process?
Well, Deere has been saying pretty much what you would expect without getting into specifics. They say that the wages for the Deere workers are already the best in the agriculture and construction industries. And with the increases that Kara mentioned, that they would be even better than they are now. Highest paid workers now are somewhere around $31 an hour, and the higher wage would push that up to several thousand dollars extra a year. And that's pretty much what the company is saying, you know, that we're operating the plants as best we can, trying to keep up with the customer demands for parts and things like that. And other than that, we're willing to talk at any time, which is pretty much the standard stuff that people always say in situations like this.
So, Herb, you've been at WVIK in the Quad Cities since 1987, if I have that right. So the last year strike
was... I was at one of the commercial stations since starting in 1984. So
okay,
I was here for the 1986 strike.
Yeah, well, and that was great. So I'm wondering if you can put this strike into a historical context for us. How long did that one go? What was that like then?
Well, that one lasted for about 5 months, or if you want to be technical, 163 days. It went from August to the following January. And this was it was a very scary time here in the Quad Cities and elsewhere. That was the farm crisis of the 80s. And for those of us that were around then, many plants were closing. International Harvester basically disappeared. Case closed a big plant here in the Quad Cities. Caterpillar closed a plant here. And there were something like 15,000 direct jobs that disappeared, along with all the sort of indirect jobs that would go with all of those direct jobs. And I imagine it was a very scary time for the companies as well, not knowing if they would survive or not. Deere fortunately did survive, and somehow after 5 months of strike, they agreed to sit down. But as I said, 1986 was a kind of a frightening time here with plants closing and people leaving. And, you know, you've heard that phrase before, well, the last one to leave the Quad Cities, turn out the lights. That was a bumper sticker back then.
That's Herb Tricks, news director at WVIK Public Radio in the Quad Cities. He and Kara Smith of the Quad City Times spoke about the strike at John Deere with 21st Show host Brian Mackey. And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies again today with a high of 71 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Hannah Meisel, Peter Medlin, Emily Hayes, and the 21st Show. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moline. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.